Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Zayin. And we are holding at the Tana Rabbanan. We went pretty far yesterday, Baruch Hashem. So, let us begin with Ilu Ne'emar Asher Takrivu. So this was, wow, he really did well. I think it's about five lines down from the middle of the daf. Tana Rabbanan. Can you see that? So Tana Rabbanan, we have been darshaning the pasuk and a number of psukim to start off with the basic halacha, which is that you cannot be machmitz any part of the mincha before you take, that the Mishnah spoke about, before you took off even the kometz, you have an iser d'oraisa to be mechametz any part of the mincha that had the kometz in it. This is before you took off the kometz. So today we're going to examine that pasuk a little bit more carefully. So Ilu Nema, let's say that pasuk would have said, instead of saying, Kol ha-mincha asher takrivu la-Hashem lo te'aseh chametz, it just would have said, Asher takrivu la-Hashem, lo te'aseh chametz. It wouldn't have said, kol ha-mincha. What would that have meant? I would have thought, hayiti omer, ein li belo te'aseh chametz, ela kometz. It says, asher takrivu la-Hashem, lo te'aseh chametz. So what does that mean? Anything that you're going to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what? Well, the only part that's put on the Mizbeach is actually the kometz. So I would have thought, okay, apparently this is an iser in the kometz bilvad. How would I have known the rest of the mincha before I took off the kometz that I'm not allowed to be mechametz any of it? Talmud Lomar, kol ha-mincha, anything of the mincha at all, which tells us the mincha, even besides the kometz. Now, how do you know? It could have just said, mincha she-takrivu. How do we know all other menachas? Because after all, this is only in the parsha of minchas machavat. But how would we know that any mincha whatsoever that has a kometz that is going to be taken from it, how would I know that it's an iser of being mechametz? Talmud lomar, kol mincha. This means any mincha at all, not only the mincha that we're specifically talking about over here, which is the minchas marcheshet, but any mincha. And then when it says, the asher takrivu la Hashem. So what's this part about la Hashem? La Hashem, I mean, we already know asher takrivu, the part that you're going to be putting on the Mizbeach. I mean, obviously, what are we talking about over here? Bringing it to the local church. I mean, I have to specify asher takrivu la Hashem. But the point over here, it has to be kosher. It has to be roi for hakrov la Hashem, which means that if something happened to that mincha, then it no longer has an iser of chimutz on it. So if it's no longer kosher, then it's not going to be mechayev you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam shehakol nihyeh bedvaro. So dafka a mincha kshera and not a mincha psula, mikan amru, and this is the source of that halacha that says that hamachamit, somebody who's mechamit, says a kshera and only a sakshera, he is chayev, but as a psula, he would be potter. Now, that's interesting because I can't be completely true, because if a mincha was already chametz, is it kosher? No. So by rights, the pasuk over here would be telling us that if it's already pasul, you can't make it more pasul by doing another act of chametz to it. But we know that's not true, because we already had a mechametz achar mechametz. We said you'd be chayev on the lisha, and then you'd be chayev on the aricha, and then you'd be chayev on the kituf, and you'd be chayev on the afia. So obviously this klal does not apply to that one particular case of mechametz achar mechametz. It may apply to tuma. It may apply to Yotzei, and if the mincha became possible because of those things, then there would be no iser of chimutz. But if it was already possible because it was chametz, there would still be an iser of chimutz. Now asks Rav Papa a very sweet question. What would be in the event that first you did the chimutz? Okay, so now the mincha is pasul, right? Now the question is, if I go ahead and I do something else that's part of this chibutz, let's say I just do the aricha. So now, if I do the aricha, if I would have done it without anything happening in between, I would have been chayev again, a separate malchus, because I'm chayev for each step. But what about if it was yotze before I did the next step? So first I was chimsa, then it was yotzes, and now I did more to pasul it. I did, let's say, afia, right? Because of a chimsa. So what's the din over there? There's two ways of looking at it. We could say, look, once it was yotze, so now it was nifsal biyotze. If I would have done the chimitz at this point, I wouldn't be chayev. So why should I be chayev for doing an additional chimitz? For sure I shouldn't be chayev, right? So v'chiyada mechamitzle, lo mechayev ala mishu mechamitz acha mechamitz. I'm not going to become chayev because of the fact that I'm redoing a mincha that was already chumatz, which normally I would be, because in this case, I already was motzi it, and therefore it's pasul. So why would I be chayim on the secondary level chimutz? That's one way of looking at it. But I could look at it the exact opposite way. I could say, Odilma, kilan de chimtza, once the mincha was already chamitz, so does it make any difference if I was motzi it? Psu yotze lo mahani, right? The addition of a psul of yotze makes no difference to it whatsoever. It was psul before, it's psul now, and I haven't added any psul. So if that's the case, if I were already going to be chayev for doing a chimutz achra chimutz, despite the fact that it's psul, what's the difference if I add a psul yotze? Psul yotze has no meaning here. Therefore, v'chihad amechamitz, if I go ahead and do the next step, let's say the lisha, or the aricha, or the afia, so then I ought to be chayev, perhaps. B'chayev ala mishum machamitz achar machamitz. Wow, that is a great question. And in fact, we let it stand. Teku. Boy of money, I got another question. Suppose you brought this kometz up to the top of the mizbeach, and you didn't put it on the fires of the mizbeach, but you put it on the mizbeach. Now my question is that considered to be already post takrova or not? So it says in the pasuk, "Kol mincha asher takrivu l'Hashem," whatever you're gonna be bringing to Hashem, or you already brought to Hashem, so then it's brought, and you're not chayit, right? So is that how to look at it? Asher takrivu amar Rachmana v'ha akrova. This kometz that was already put on top of the mizbeach was already brought up to Hashem, so there's no additional iser of chimutz. Or maybe when it says Asher Takrivu L'Hashem, it means you got to burn it, not just put it on the top. So Asher Takrivu L'Hashem would mean only if you already put the kometz on the fire of the Mizbeach, but not if you just put it on top of the Mizbeach before it's put down on the flames. So maybe that's called Mechusar Haktara. And perhaps Mechusar Haktara is the equivalent of Mechusar Ma'aseh. It's as if the Hakrava was never done. And it's still begetter Kol HaMincha Asher Takrivu LaHashem. Wow, another great question. Teiku. Anyway, getting back to the pasuk that we just darshan. So look, now that we have managed to figure out from Kol HaMincha, then it doesn't really make any sense to say Asher Takrivu, does it? I mean, we just said that the whole mincha, even before the kometz. So if you would have just said, Kol mincha l'Hashem, so that would have been any kosher mincha, right? Any kosher mincha. Why do I need Asher Takrivu? Since I've already said that the Kol mincha would mean the whole mincha, and that doesn't matter whether the kometz was taken out yet or not, anything that begins this mincha, I'm not allowed to be mechametz. So what's the point of mentioning Asher Takrivu? You could have left out the words Asher Takrivu, and you would still have known from the word Lashem, you still would have known that it had to be kosher. So what's the point of Asher Takrivu? Take out that word Lashem, because it messes up the limud the way that we've just explained it. Answers the Gemara, good point, but we actually have a basis for understanding that in the Braita. Tanya. We need it for what it said in the Braita as follows. Why does it say Asher Takrivu? Because there are also things that are not brought separately on the Mizbeach. That is to say, there is no act of komets, because the whole thing is either put on the Mizbeach or the whole thing is not put on the Mizbeach. So we've got some interesting situations over here. So let's say you have the Minchat Nesachim. Now, there's no komets on the Minchat Nesachim, right? And the question is, let's say that I would make the Minchas Nesachim, which is placed entirely on the Mizbeach, suppose I would make it chametz, would that be included in the model of the Minchas Bar Cheshes that we've been talking about? Or not, because it's not similar to it. Now look, the truth is, let's consider what we're faced with over here in terms of the various situations of the Mincha. So we've got our standard menachas, all of those menachas which have a komets that are taken from. It's the whole list of menachas at the beginning of Vayikra. But then we have any minchas kohen, any of those menachas that's brought by a kohen, which of course includes the minchas chavitim that's brought by the kohen gadol. We never do a komets on them. Why? Because there's no shirayim. They're not eaten. You have to put the entire thing on the Mizbeach, right? So we've got certain types of menachas that are not put on the Mizbeach. Now, I mean, that don't have a separate komets that are put on the Mizbeach. Now, we also have our menachas that are bichlal, not put on a Mizbeach. Well, how about, for instance, we've got ourselves, Shtei Alechem are not put on the Mizbeach. We've got the Lechem HaPanim. They're not put on the Mizbeach. They're not chometz. And the Lechem HaPanim, I mean, yeah, they do have that little chometz Levona. But, I mean, that chometz Levona is not really part of the Lechem, right? So, I mean, what would be the din over there if I would make the Lechem HaPanim? I would go ahead and make them chometz, despite the fact that they are not Asher Takrivu Hashem. How about that? So we really have got ourselves a list that goes all the way from any type of Minchas Kohen, which is not going to have a comment, and that includes even things like the Lechem HaPanim that have no comments and that they themselves are not put on the Mizbeach at all. And then we've got all the way to the other extreme, the Minchas Nesachim as well, which is going to be put entirely, obviously not the Nesach part, but the Mincha part is going to be put entirely on the Mizbeach. So the truth is, we need to understand how we know that the Mincha of a Kohen is included in this din that was said by the Mincha Marchesh. However, in order to get to the Minchas Kohen, we're looking for a model. So we're not going to talk about all of them. And the question of which model we choose is going to bring out a different chiddush. So it's very important not to get confused over here. Obviously, we're talking about the whole gamut, right? The question that we have over here, machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi, is what shall we take as the model for those other menachas, which will include also the Minchas Kohen? So we could take two possible models. We could take the Minchas Nesachim, which is similar, or we could take the Lechem HaPanim in order to say that this is Asher Takrivu would include anything like that. And why would we call it Takrivu? Well, also, as we're going to see, the very fact that we bring the komets means that that is the equivalent of the komets Levona, obviously. That's the equivalent of an actual turning the Lechem into Shirai. So here's how they put it. This additional word, Asher Takrivu, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is coming to include even a Minchas Nesachim, meaning, and therefore, even Minchas Kayanim and Minchas Kayan Mashiach, they'll all be included, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva said, I would put it like this. I would say, L'rabos lechem haponim l'chimutz, and that would automatically as well would include all of the Minchas Kohanim, because basically, I mean, the Lechem HaPanim is also the same idea, because they're not put on the Mizbeach at all. We don't do really Knitza on them, but nonetheless, they are Asher Takrivu LaHashem, and the Asher Takrivu LaHashem should include the Lechem HaPanim. So that's what I say, says Rabbi Akiva. Now, it turns out that there's a subtle argument that runs beneath the choice of Rabbi Akiva and the choice of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. But in order, and remember, both of them are certainly coming to conclude the Minchas Kohanim and the Minchas Kohen Mashiach. That's for sure. The question is, why did they make the choices that they made in representing the model? Do they argue with each other? Well, it turns out that there are two issues that, in fact, they might be arguing about. And that is, if the Lechem HaPani do not ever go through a Kedusha process, meaning they're never put inside of a klishoris, until they're actually put on the Shulchan itself, well, by the time they're put on their Shulchan itself, they're already baked. You can't be mechamek something that's already baked. So there wouldn't be any opportunity of being mechamek the Lechem HaPanim, and therefore it couldn't possibly be coming to include the chimitz of the Lechem HaPanim. If, on the other hand, you hold that the Lechem HaPanim actually, by being put into the Isorin, which measures them, that itself, the Isorin itself, is considered to be a klisharis, so then you would be able to have an Isra on the Lechem HaPanim. Now, it turns out, we're going to have this major machlokas later on about whether we've even spoken about this before in Zvachim, are the Kli HaYavesh, remember the Isorin, the Midot HaYavesh. The Isorin is a Mid of Yavesh, not just a Kli. And the question is, were the Midot HaYavesh, the measuring of the dry measures, were they klisharet or were they just measuring cups? Now, that turns out to be a machlokas. If you hold, this is rather surprising because you wouldn't have thought that this is what the issue would turn out to be, but if you hold that the Isaron as a Midas HaYavesh was never mekudesh to be a klisharet, then it would turn out that the Lechem HaPanim didn't have the Kedusha of a Mincha until it was already put on the Shulchan, by which point it was already baked, and therefore it could not have been mechumatz, right? So that would be a reason for me not to say that the example is the Lechem HaPanim, because the Lechem HaPanim wouldn't make any sense as an example. But now I've got another question as well that might be involved in this, and that would be Legabe the Minchat Nisachim. So maybe the Minchas Nisachim, there is something that is certainly a tremendous chiddush about the Minchas Nisachim, and that is that basically, the Minchas Nisachim doesn't come as its own korban. The Minchas Nisachim is brought along with other korbanos. Every Ola and Shlomi is bringing a Minchas Nisachim. So then the question would be, it sounds like on the surface it would be a great use to add the words Ashatak Riva Lashem to tell me even this Minchas Nisachim, which would include that, of course, the Minchas Kohanim as well, the Minchas Kohen Mashiach, but this is a very important machlokas about what the din is of the Minchas Nisachim, as we're about to see. So, what is this machlokas? So, according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, is the Minchas Nisachim actually included in the Isser of Chimus? Well, why not? I mean, it makes a lot of sense. But you didn't think of one thing. Remember that the Minchas Nisachim was the most completely oil-lodged carbon that we've got, right? Because it was 3-1 in terms of the measurements of the oil to the Isaron, as opposed to the normal way that we would have a 1-1 relationship. And because of that, it is so oil-clogged, how in the world would it become chometz? That's the problem. Isn't it mei peirot? I mean, basically, when you're talking about oil, oil cannot be mechametz, and therefore, if you, I mean, other menachos, you could say, yes, they have oil, but they don't have that much oil. So you add water to them, and that would allow them to become chimuch. So I understand the Minchas Machavas, Minchas Marcheshes, the Chal we spoke about, even the Minchas Solas, that you can mix it with water. Nobody said you can't mix it with water in order to make it usable and to be able to do your kmitza. But so normally, what have we got? We've got Lug Shemen per Isaron, but here you've got Shalosha Lugin per Isaron, and therefore it is completely soaked in oil, in which case Mei Perot are not Machmitz, and because of that, you wouldn't be able to be Machmitz it anyway. So then how could the words Asher Takrivu, how could the Asher Takrivu use Menichas Nesachim as the model? That's what Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying. That's why I want to use the Lechem HaPanim, right? The Lechem HaPanim makes a nice model, but the Menichas Nesachim seems ridiculous. So how does Rabbi Yossi Aglili use that as the model for all of those menachas that don't have a separate kometz taken from them? Omer Eish Lakish, well, I'll tell you, Rabbi Yossi Haglili held that you can do the kneading of a Minchas Nesachim with water, even though you don't need to, because you could do it entirely with oil, but there's no reason for you to aser putting in oil anywhere that you would put aser oil in a Minchas Marcheshes, and therefore, if according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, you add water, you didn't do anything wrong. Mashenken, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. You cannot add water because you'd only be able to use your oil. Since the Torah specified that amount of oil, you can't use, this is what we're assuming now, and we're not going to stick with this. So apparently we have a machlokas about this issue. Can you add water to a Minchas Nesachim? So that would explain the machlokas. Now, Lemaisa, it turns out that this is a very bad explanation of Machlokes, because it turns out that Rabbi Akiva would be inconsistent if he said that the Lechem HaPanim would be the model. Why? Because the Lechem HaPanim does not go through a Kiddush Kli, except for being put into an Isaron. But that, remember, there's no need, as we're going to see, for doing anything else that would involve a Kiddush Kli to the Lechem HaPanim until it's actually baked. So because of that, if the Lechem HaPanim was only Mekudash by the Isaron Solet, the Isaron Solet is a Midat Yavesh. And unfortunately, Rabbi Akiva is precisely the one who says that a Midat Yavesh has no Kedusha. And since it has no Kedusha, how would it possibly be Mechayev Yumalkas for being Mechametzit if it wasn't yet Kedushas Kadosh B'Kedushas Aguf? Makes no sense. Shamanu Leilu Rabbi Akiva the Omer Midas Yavesh Lo Nitkatsha. So according to Rabbi Akiva, when is it Nitkatsha? When it's put on the Shulchan. But when it's put on the Shulchan, it's already baked. So how could Rabbi Akiva claim that the Lechem HaPanim is your model for the Asher Takrivu that doesn't have a Kmitza, and that nonetheless is going to be Mechayev you for Chimutz? It won't be Mechayev you for Chimutz because it's already bread. And if you try to be Mechametz it before, it doesn't have Kedushas Aguf. Whoa. True, true, true. Woo. Shalach Ravin, it should say. I'm telling you, these copyists, I don't know if they were Jewish sometimes, I wonder. I mean, you'd think somebody who's been copying over the Shas, you know, and that's what he does for a living. He would figure out that he doesn't know of any Ruvains, but he does know that Ravin always thinks says that Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, like, how bright do you have to be, right? And you get these unbelievably idiotic mistakes in Kutchim because the copyists had no idea what they were doing. And you wonder, like, they couldn't hire Jews? What would our president have said, huh? Back in the old days. Well, aren't we talking about Jews? Anyway, so yes, this is not Reb Ruvain. I might have been a guy from Mel Lakewood who did it. He thought it was Reb Ruvain Schkopper, I don't know. But
maybe out of 7,211 blood, relatively, it's not too bad.
Not true. That's not
there's so much here in Kutchim.
No, it's just a question of familiarity. Nobody in this Daf Yomi would have written Reb Ruvain. You would have understood that Reish Beis has to stand for Ruvain, stand for Reb Ruvain. All right. Anyway, so Shalach Ruvain Mishmei Reb Yochanan. So Ruvain said that, you know, when Reb Yochanan heard about this, he said, look, everything in this Braita is right, except for one minor detail. You flipped the Shitas. That's what happened. So it's not that we've got a fundamental problem. The Bright is correct. As written, but April, you're going to have to say it in the exact opposite way. Here's how to say it. Why does it say Torah Asher Takrivu? That's to tell me the rabbis lechem aponim lechimu. It's according to whom? According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says it's coming to be marba minchas nesachem lechimu because he could not hold that it's coming to be marba the lechem aponim. Since he holds that the lechem aponim doesn't become kadosh until it's actually baked. So everything works out perfectly well. And Lamaisa, it's Rabbi Yossi who holds that you're not supposed to add water to the Minchas Nesachim. So therefore, the Minchas Nesachim couldn't be an Isra of Chimutz because you'd passel if you tried to be Mechametz with the water. And if you're using oil, May Peres is not Mechametz. And look, this that Rabbi Yochanan was quoted as saying is perfectly consistent with Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the shitas that we see anyway. It's not just a response to having a problem over here of how is it consistent. It's consistent all through Shas. Because look, Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, along with one of the famous Talmidim of Rabbi Yishmael, they ended up saying the same thing. Namely, the halacha that Midas HaYavesh were Kadosh. And of course, if the old Midas HaYavesh were Kadosh, that's exactly the reason why Rabbi Yossi Aglili would be saying that the Lechem HaPanim specifically would be Shayach to the Isra of Chimutz, because the moment that you put them in the Isaran to measure, then they already became Kadosh. And at that point, if you mix them with water, so then you would be already being mechametz them if you weren't careful. Which one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel was Rabbi Yochanan talking about? Umanu? That was Rabbi Yoshia. I'll show you why I say this. Because when we talk about the midas in the Beis HaMikdash, so over there we were talking about the Mizbeach, right? So it says, Vayhi biyom kalot Moshe lakim et hamishkan, vayimshach oto, vaykadesh oto vet kokelav. Now here's the key. Ve'et hamizbeach vet kokelav, vayimshachem vaykadesh otam. Now what it mentions over there, in terms of the mizbeach vet kokelav, that was a reference. The first things were that it said that Hamishkan veKokelav, that was like the Kalim, that like the Aron HaBris and the Mizbeach HaZov and so on and so forth. Here it's talking about Dafke the Mizbeach, and it was talking about like the things that you would use for the Mizrakot, that you would be Mekabel the Damin, and for the containers that you would be pouring the Nisuch HaYayin in. That's the Mizbeach veKokelav, the things that you actually put on the Mizbeach. Now the Isorain is not included in that. Only the Midas Salach, like for blood and for Shemen, that's included in the Mizbeach, right? So it says over there, Vayim Shachem. So what does that mean? Says Rabbi Yoshia, this teaches you that the Midat Halach, any of those Midot, and we're going to have a whole list of the Hin and the Chatziah Hin and every different possible usage of any type of Midas Halach, the Mishnah is going to go through later. All of those were actually Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. That's what it's being Meramis to over here. And it was Nimshach Main Mibifnim Bein Mibachutz. The entire Kli was Mashuach. Remember that the surface of a Kli that was Mashuach, had the Kedusha of Kli Shores. Kodesh Kodashim means that it is that which will give something else Kedusha. Kol HaNogea B'Hem Yigdash. So that would mean anything which comes into contact with the surface of the Kli Halach, whether inside of the Kli or outside of the Kli, will end up becoming Kodesh. However, when it comes, said Rabbi Yoshia, to the Midas HaYavesh, they were Nimshach, but they were only Nimshach Mibivnim, but they weren't Nimshach Mibachutz. So there was no need, because they're not going to come into touch with anything. And those things that were meant for liquids and so on, which can spill over, so those things were Kodesh completely. So that way, if the liquid came over on the side, all of that liquid would be Kodesh because it came into contact with a surface that was Mekodesh, and it would then be still usable on the Mizbeach. There would be no problem. Masha Ein Kein, if you're talking about Midos HaYodesh, well, if it would spill out, it would spill out to the floor. I mean, there's no point in our making the outside Kodesh. So we only made the inside Kodesh. But we did make the inside Kodesh. Okay, so then according to this Shita of Rabbi Yoshia, what would be the din of the Lechem HaPonim before it's baked? It would be Kodesh, because it was put inside of the Isaron. So if that's the case, if he is saying that this Shita of Rabbi Yoshia goes hand in hand with Rabbi Yoshia Galili, what is he saying? That Rabbi Yosia Glili is the one who says that the Midas HaYovesh were Mekudesh, and therefore that explains why it was Rabbi Yochanan who was saying that according to Rabbi Yosia Glili, indeed, Kachi Atzar Shal Mishnah, but it's Rabbi Yosia Glili who is the one who holds that the Lechem HaPonim were Mekudesh from the time they were put into the Isaron, and therefore we need to know in the Pasuk, Asher Takrivu, Asher Takrivu is a reference to the Lechem HaPonim. And, of course, to Mincha V'Kohen and to the Chavitim. And yes, but I want to bedafka bring out this case because this way you're going to learn from me something very important. And that is that the Midas HaYovesh were Mekudesh and therefore the Lechem HaPonim serves as a great model. Why should I talk to you about the Minchas Kohen when I could talk to you about something that involves not only the simple meaning Minchas Kohen, it's all put on the Mizbeah, but also involves all of these technicalities as well? I'll teach you the whole thing. So I'm choosing this as my model. You see? But of course, it includes all of the cases. And so this Rabbi Yoshia saying exactly what it was that Rabbi Yoshia Glili said means that Rabbi Yochanan is fully consistent with his idea that it's Dafka Rabbi Yoshia Glili who said all along that the Midas HaYavesh were Niskachu. Oh, nam, they were Niskachu on the inside, but that's not relevant to us right now. Now, on the other hand, Rabbi Yonatan says, and he's the one who argues, he's another Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, and he argues with Rabbi Yoshia in this Braita, and he says, no, absolutely not. The Midat HaLach was Mekudash, but only on the inside. The Midat HaYavesh, they weren't Mekudash at all. They remain Chulin. So if that's the case, then that would mean, according to Rabbi Yonatan, seems to be, that Rabbi Yonatan would be saying the same thing that Rabbi Akiva says, right? Rabbi Akiva says, no, you can't use the Lechem HaPonim as your model. Why not? I guess because he holds the same thing that Rabbi Yonatan holds, namely, Midas HaYovesh were not Mekudesh, and therefore, by the time there is Kedusha on the Lechem HaPonim, they're already baked. So if they're baked, when you put them on the Shulchan, how can you be Mechametz then? And I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Yonatan. It's clear to me that the Midas HaYavesh were chulin. Share ein mekadshot. We know that those Midot HaYavesh do not make things Kodesh if they're put inside of them. How do I concede that? Because take a look at the Shtei Alechem. What did it say at the Shtei Alechem? The Shtei Alechem was brought, remember, with the Kivsei Atzeres. The only two Shlomim that are Kodesh Kodashim, and we always set them as a special case of Kodesh Kodashim. And it says there, Mimoshvotechem taviu lechem tenufa shtaim shnei esronim solet tihiena chametz teafena bikurim lahashem. Now, at what point do they become these lahashem? Ematai en lahashem. It says, teafena bikurim lahashem. So what does that mean? That they only became bikurim lahashem when you bake that in the oven inside of the Azara, but everything that you did beforehand, including the fact that you had already put them into an Isarain, they were still not Lashem. They only became Lashem when Teyafena. So then that means that they clearly were not Kodesh before. Okay, so what are they arguing about? They're arguing about what did the word mean when it said in the Pasuk before that Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Vaykadesh Otam. What are the Otam? So, because Otam means,
It doesn't say Vayikat Shem, right? It could have said Vayikat Shem. It said Vayikadesh Otam. Remember, the word Otam only means this and not something else. What is this if this and the not something else? So Rabbi Yoshia holds the Otam is this, meaning these pnims, but not other, not chutzes. So the pnim of the Midas HaYavesh is enough to be excluded, that the outside of the Midas HaYavesh, that was not included. That's Otam, because Otam means the essential kli, only it, right? That was, remember, the word that we used from et. When we were back in Zvach, we were talking about how to apply that et specifically to the various chataos. Et means the absolutely central liba of the issue, which is the inside of the kli. That's what it's saying. So the Midas HaYavesh outside, which were not mechudesh, that was what was excluded. Masha Ein came to say that they weren't Mekudesh at all. There's no basis to say that, Tainas Rabbi Yosha. As Rabbi Yonatan says, Midat HaChol, we have no reason to say that they were Mekudesh at all. Because we were talking about the Kalim for the Mizbeah. Therefore, I don't need a Pusik to be Mamayat to tell me that the outside wasn't Mekudesh. None of it was Mekudesh. The Pusik that is saying Otam would be coming to tell me that the Midas Lach was also not Mekudesh Mibachutz. That's his shita. Okay, fine. So now we see Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Yoshia, according to Rabbi Yochanan, are perfectly in concurrence, correct? But wait a minute. I mean, if Rabbi Yochanan was coming to clarify the various shitot here, why didn't he just finish up by pointing out one of the Talmidim of the Rabbi Yishmael, namely Rabbi Yoshia, he agrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili? And another Talmid of Rabbi Yishmael, namely Rabbi Yonatan, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva. But he didn't say that part. He only said the first part. Why did he only say the first part? Leimanami, he should also have said that Rabbi Akiva, v'echad mitalmidei Rabbi Yishmael, also said Dover Echot. Umano, who is that Talmud of Rabbi Yishmael, who says exactly the same thing as Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yonatan? It's sort of strange if you have a Braita that tells me the Shita both of Rabbi Yoshia and of Rabbi Yonatan, that you only mention the concurrence of the Shita of Rabbi Yonatan with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and you don't point out that the Talmud of Rabbi Yishmael mentions another Talmud who was in agreement with Rabbi Akiva. Isn't that strange? So, like, he stopped in the middle. Why? Answers the Gemara, why? Because Rabbi Yochanan did not believe that they agreed. They may have agreed partially, but they did not agree when it came to the Midas Halach, because Rabbi Yonatan said that the Midas Halach were only Mekudesh Bifnim, whereas Rabbi Akiva held, we're going to see this later on, that Rabbi Akiva holds that the Lach were Mekudesh Bein Bifnim Bein Bachutz. So I'd have to start explaining when it comes to the din of the, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's not the same. It's a different level of Kiddush. So therefore, he wasn't going to say that. I said, Omru Dover Echad. It definitely was not Dover Echad. But when it comes to Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yoshia Glili, it was Mamish Dover Echad. Omru Leirav Papal Abai, you know, I don't really understand what the problem was. We made such a big deal about it. And we said that according to Rabbi Akiva, how could Rabbi Akiva have said that the model would be the Lechem Aponim, since the Lechem Aponim, if it were put into an Isara, wouldn't have become Kadosh B'Kedushas Zaguf, and it would only become Kedushas Zaguf when you put it on the Shulchan, by which point it was already baked, right? That's what we said. I mean, is that really such a problem? I mean, there's such an easy way to just answer that. What you should have said was, well, look, the Lechem Aponim is bread. And last I heard, in order to bake bread, you can't just take flour. I mean, I'm sure there's some guys out there who think you could take some flour, put it in the oven, and out comes steaming hot bread. But it doesn't work that way. That's only in those machines, you know. But this is the Lechem Aponim. You needed to mix it with water. Now, where did you mix it with water? There you go. Where did you mix it with water? You mixed it with water. Obviously, you'd put it in the Bisa, wouldn't you? I mean, that's where you put all the menachas, in that good old Bisa. And that Bisa was the mixing bowl. That's where actually Bosch took their name from. That was the original mixing bowl, and that was a kli sharis. And if you're going to turn the lechem aponim into bread, well, where are you going to put it if not into your Bosch mixer? And because of that, obviously, it would already be mekudesh in the bisa. So, and that is a kli alach. I mean, that's called, dough is considered to be kli alach. So, why didn't we just say that? What's the difference whether it was mekudesh in the isaron? It was mekudesh in the bisa. Omar Lay says, what does that mean? What if this guy doesn't like putting things in an electric mixer? What if he likes to do it via diet? What if he puts it on a katablia? Remember, the katablia was a leather, that hard leather surface they would put down on a table, and they would use that for kneading. It's very convenient. So he didn't put it into his bisa. So, I mean, like, to talk about a case, maybe he'll put it in a bisa. Maybe he won't put it in a bisa. I mean, like, what kind of argument is that? You could say, yeah, you could say, but you could also say that he never put it into the bisa. We're not going to use a model that he had no idea what happened, you know? So, what if you put it on top of your leather tablecloth? And that for sure is not kadosh as a kli sharis. They didn't make leather kli sharis. So what's the problem? Well, wait a minute, Abaye. I mean, if you are ready to say that you could be Mekadosh anywhere, so then how did you understand the whole sugya we just had? Didn't Rabbi Yonatan say to Rabbi Yoshia, listen, I'll prove it to you. Yeah, you're going to prove it. You're going to prove it to me that it must be that it was never Mekadosh if it was a Midas HaYavesh. Because obviously it's not going to be Mekadesh, since it says that it's Lashem is only at the time that you put it on into the oven. Excuse me? Rabbi Yoshe should have said, what makes you think that he put it in the oven? It's talking about, in this case, that he did put it into an Isaron. What makes you think he put it into the official Isaron? That would have been Mekadesh. Maybe he walked into a five-and-dime store, bought a plastic measuring cup that he could then throw out, and he measured it in an Isaron that was chol. I mean, so what's your raya that it was in an Isaron that's kodesh? I mean, is that an intelligent question? Maybe he did it. Maybe he did it in a katablia. Maybe he did it in a plastic bag. I don't understand what this may be. There's a way to do things, and there's a way not to do things. The way to do things is that there's an Isaron, so you put it in the Isaron. You don't walk into a five and dime and buy a disposable Isaron. And the same thing is true about the Bisa. You got yourself that beautiful Bisa. What are you telling me? You're going to take a Katablia? So your whole question is ridiculous. You could have said maybe he didn't use the Isaron. Talk ridiculous, says the Gemara. There's no comparison. The Isaron is mentioned in the Torah. It says, take an Isaron. So obviously there was an official Isaron. Why in the world, if the Torah defined the Isaron, would somebody walk into a five and dime store to buy a disposable Isaron? That's ridiculous. Does it say anywhere in the Torah one word about Bisas? Never heard of it. So therefore, good, you're telling me they often use a Bisa. Fine, and they often use a Katablia. I don't know. So Achihashta, Bishlama Bisa, lo Katav Rachmanet Olmavit Bisa. Where did the Torah say you're supposed to have a Bisa? Nowhere. You have to have a Bisa, the Melech, but I can need it in whatever I want. So Kilo Shlagabi Katablia, we Makbid, and we'll say, hey, excuse me, Mr. Cohen, you're crazy. This is supposed to be in a Bisa. He'll say, what Bisa? Never heard of a Bisa in my life. I went through Cohen school for 5 years. They never said anything about a Bisa. So, fine, we're not going to have any tainas on him, but on his son. With the Torah said, given the Omer Achmanu, you're going to start arguing with your lover. It says, Avedi Saron Vekayabal, make an Isaron and measure it. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, I don't like your Isaron. I like the disposable Isaronis that they sell in the canteen. I mean, Shavik Isaron to Kedesh Vekayab Isaron to Chol, that's ridiculous. Who's going to do such a thing? And we're going to take that as a possibility, as a norm? Of course, it's ridiculous. So there, I'm saying that would not, of course, he couldn't have said that I used a chol Isaron. Okay. Tana Rabbana. How do we know? Now, remember, we had this back a few times already. That kol shemimenu le'ishim hareu babal taktiru. So remember what that wonderful pasuk, the diyukim in that wonderful pasuk are. Kol se'ar, what do we know? Kol se'ar v'chol devash, lo taktiru mimenu, l'ashem. So what do we learn from there? Obviously that if you bring se'ar v'dvash on the Beis HaMikdash, that you're going to be over on this. But we also learn, lo taktiru mimenu, l'ashem. And that was an amazing way of understanding the pasuk, that mimenus cannot be brought onto the Mizbeah. What are mimenus? Who remembers what a mimenu is? Let's see some intelligence lighting up those eyes. I'm telling you, it's bursting out of their foreheads. There's so many people rushing to tell me what mimenus are. I'm just going to have to shut mute everybody. So what was the mimenu? The mimenu was, kol shemimenu le'ishim areu v'bal taktir. If any part of a carbon was supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach and was brought on the Mizbeach, bringing any subsequent part of that to the Mizbeach after you already brought the part that was meant to be is itself an Isra Lav. It's not stam that, well, that wasn't needed on the Mizbeach. It's that you're going to be over on Lo Takrivu Mimenu Lashem. So any Mimenu can't be put on to the Mizbeach. Now, in examining that question, we are going to get into the issue that we just discussed, Legabi Dishte Alechem, and so on. So let's take a look at this. Tana Rabbana. How do we know, Minayin Lema'ale Bas Mipsar Achatat, or Mipsar Asham, or Mipsar Kotche Kadashim? What are Bisar Kotche Kadashim? Who's going to tell me what Bisar Kotche Kadashim are? You've got exactly 1 second. Beep, sorry, too late. So the Bisar Kotche Kadashim is Zifche Shalmet Sibur. We just talked about that. Wherever it says Bisar Kotche Kadashim, there's only one thing left out after the Chatas HaAsham, and that is the Basar from the only two Shlomim that are Kotche Kadashim, therefore they're called Bisar Kotche Kadashim. Okay, so they have dinim like a shlomim in terms of what you put on the mizbeach and what it is that you eat, but they're bisar kotche kotche. And let's say you take basar from kotchim kali, or you take a leftover from the kometz of the omer that was put onto the mizbeach, or, ooh, now, wait a minute, you take something from the leftover of the shtei halechem on the Mizbeach? I thought the Shtei Alechem doesn't have any Moser. How is there a Moser of a Shtei Alechem? You don't put anything from the Shtei Alechem onto the Mizbeach, do you? You know, how could that be the case of a Moser? Or if you took the Lechem Aponim, the Moser of a Shtei of Lechem Aponim, I thought the Lechem Aponim don't go on the Mizbeach. This is weird. Or from Shiari Menachos, okay, I mean regular Shiari Menachos, I understand that. So I would be over on a lotase, Talmud Lomar, Kichol Se'or V'chol Devash Lo Taktiru Mimenu Ishel Hashem. Kol Shehu Mimenu Le'ishem. Anything that was brought to the fires of the Mizbeach to bring subsequently something that wasn't meant to be on the fires of the Mizbeach, Arehu Ba'al Taktiru. Excuse me, what were you talking about? Shtei Alechem, Lechem Aponim. I don't understand what you're talking about. You don't put anything from the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim on the Mizbeach. So what do you mean, if you put them on the Mizbeach? V'atanya, Yotzer Shtei Alechem. Now, this is not talking about the case we're talking about over here. This in Breita is coming to describe the dinim of Hagosha. So you will recall that every mincha that is brought on the Mizbeach, you walk over with the mincha before, touch it to the corner on the southwest side, which is facing you as you walk up to the Mizbeach, and it's facing on the other side to your left. It's facing the doorway of the Heichal. And there, you touch it to that side. That's what it's referring to over here. So the Braita is in the middle of saying what things are included. We'll have this We'll have this later this week, this Braita. So Hagosha does not include the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim, even though those are technically Minachot, but they're not going to be brought up to the Mizbeach. And the nature of Hagosha is that it affects only those things as if you're presenting it. What does Hagosha mean? I'm presenting the gift that I'm going to be bringing to the Mizbeach. If I'm not bringing the gift to the Mizbeach, it's not included in the mitzvah of Hagosha. She'emehem le'ishim. So what are you talking about when you say Koshmi Menu Le'ishim? I'm showing you it's not Le'ishim. So how in the world would you be chayev on Mimenu if it's not Le'ishim, if the whole point is Koshmi Menu Le'ishim? Why don't you talking here? Omer of Sheshes, excuse me, sir. Ein Migufo Le'ishim. It's true that we do not put any of the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem upon him, yes, but that's only its own self. It's not like other menachas where we take the actual mincha itself and put it. However, are they shirayim? I mean, yes, in a sense, because what's matter them to be eaten? Well, the zrikas hadam and the emurim of the kodshei kadoshim, namely the shnei kivsei atzeret, is what makes the shtei halechem shirayim. Ah, so some of it was put on the mizbeah, wasn't it? I suppose you could say that. Well, I'm saying it. And what about the Kometz Levena that was put on the Mizbeach? And that's what's matir, the Lechem Aponim. So then the Lechem Aponim had something brought on the Mizbeach. Well, I suppose you could say, well, I'm saying it. Okay, so now that explains it's true. It's no Hagosha because I'm not going to present something that I'm not giving you. That would be ridiculous. But when it comes to the question of whether you're going to be over on Kosher Mimenu, absolutely. This is kosher mimenu. So either you had the kaimetz for the lechem aponim, or you had the hakrava and the zrika of the shnei kivsei atzeret. Aha. Okay. Wow. I hear. So then you would actually be over on kosher mimenu, even though the thing itself. Wow. Okay. I hear that. Big kiddush. Now, I got a question like this. Suppose you would be ma'ale mikulam agabe hakevesh. You put it not on the mizbeach. Put it only on the kevesh. Now, you know, we always have that two-step thing, right? First, we have the kohanim that bring it to the kevesh itself, and then we have the kohanim that are ma'ale it, mina kevesh le mizbeach. Is the kevesh included in the iser of kol shemimenu li'ishim? That's what I want to know. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you'd be chayev as if it was on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar says, no, you're potter. The kevesh is not considered to be a chelik of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you are chayev. Because take a look at this braisa. It says, ve'el ha-mizbeach lo ya'alu l'reach nichoach. So remember, that was the whole iser. What do you do with this kol sa'or v'kol davash? Ah, korban reshit takrivo otam la'ashem v'el ha-mizbeach lo ya'alu l'reach nichoach. So there's a specific iser. Don't put it up onto the mizbeach. So, ein li el ha-mizbeach, it says in the Braita. How do I know that you'd be over even if you bring up the bikurim onto the kevesh? Kevesh minayin? Talmud Lomar, the Ela Mizbeach, lo ya'alu l'reach nichoach. Okay, there's a lot of different pirushim. Are we being medayiket from lo ya'alu, that is to say they're on their way up? Are we bringing it from the hay of Hamizbeach? Are we bringing it from the ve'el? Okay, that's different pirushim. But the bottom line is that Braita is telling me that there is an extension of Allah onto the kevesh, and therefore Tainez Rabbi Yochanan. Look, okay, so that means that any of the above listed cases, koshim imenu la'ishim, that you put onto the kevesh, you would be chayev. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, you're potter. How could he say that? Well, read the pasuk. You're taking everything out of context, my dear friends. What does it say? Kikol sa'or v'chol tevash lo takrivu. Korban reishish takrivu otam. So what do you do with them? Bring them, otam, as a korban reishish. Meaning, so for the shtei alechem, you're going to bring the chametz, the sa'or. And for the korban reishish of the bikurim, you will bring in the dvash, which is the fruit. And that's what you do with them, otam. Now listen to the whole pasuk. Takrivu otam ve'el hamizbeach lo yalu. What part is included in the el hamizbeach? Otam. Not the mimenu le'ishim part. Doesn't say anything over there about el hamizbeach. It specifies the specifically the shtealechem and the bikurim. That's what otam. If you put them on the mizbeach, then you would be chayav. But other things that are included just in general because of kosher imenu le'ishim, mide achrino lo. Beautiful.